We are reading this morning from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, verse number 5. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the clever Duryodhan and his party cunningly usurped the kingdom of Yudhishthir, who had no enemy. By the grace of the Lord, the recovery was executed, and the unscrupulous kings who joined with Duryodhan were killed by him. Others also died, their duration of life having decreased for their rough handling of the hair of Queen Draupadi. Purport: in the glorious days, or before the advent of the age of Kali, the Brahmanas, the cows, the women, the children, and the old men were properly given protection. The protection of Brahmanas maintains the institution of Varna and Ashram, the most scientific culture for attainment of spiritual life. The protection of cows maintains the most miraculous form of food, that is milk, for maintaining the finer tissues of the brain for understanding higher aims of life. The protection of women maintains the chastity of society, by which we can get a good generation for peace, tranquility, and progress of life. The protection of children gives the human form of life its best chance to prepare the way of liberty from material bondage. Such protection of children begins from the very day of begetting a child by the purificatory process of Garbhadhan Samskar, the beginning of pure life. The protection of the old men gives them a chance to prepare themselves for better life after death. This complete outlook is based on factors leading to successful humanity, as against the civilization of polished cats and dogs. The killing of the above-mentioned innocent creatures is totally forbidden, because even by insulting them, one loses one duration of life. In the age of Kali, they are not properly protected, and therefore the duration of life of the present generation has shortened considerably. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that when the women become unchaste for want of proper protection, there are unwanted children called Varna Sankara. To insult a chaste woman means to bring about disaster in the duration of life. Dushasan, a brother of Duryodhan, insulted Draupadi, an ideal chaste lady, and therefore the miscreants died untimely. These are some of the stringent laws of the Lord mentioned above. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum langhayate girim yatkripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarnam shri chaitanya ishwaram paramananda madhavam namaum vishnu padaya krishna prishthaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine Nirvishesha-shunyavadi Paschatya-desha-tarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa-sindubhyayvacha Patitanampavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I begin on this very difficult and controversial subject, I'd like to take blessings of the senior Prabhupada disciples present here and all the other devotees as well. So definitely we are embarking on a very controversial subject this morning, and I'll try to be as non-controversial as is humanly possible for me. and try to explain the subject matter based on the teachings of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and some of our previous acharyas, particularly Shripad Madhvacharya, who comes in our sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva sampradaya. Shripad Madhvacharya has written commentaries on the Mahabharata. If there is any authentic commentary of the acharyas available, the only commentaries available on the Mahabharata is the Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya by Shripad Madhvacharya. So in order to look for a lot of complicated, controversial questions, answers to these questions, we have to refer back, because not much is available apart from this. So let us see how it goes. Yesterday His Grace Krishna Dharma Prabhu gave a beautiful talk on the character of the Pandavas. And he was mentioning that how there is not much availability of the authentic versions of the Mahabharata. So we generally have to refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam, because there is parampara there, and understand what the Mahabharata is all about. So the topic for this morning is disrobing of Draupadi and lessons to learn from the story. And in this particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam and the purport, we find Srila Prabhupada gives so much emphasis on the protection of these five personalities: cows, brahmanas, children, old men and women. And how candid, how clear, how uncompromising, how emphatic is Srila Prabhupada in terms of giving protection to these classes, particularly here in this context, to women. And Srila Prabhupada explains, quoting this verse, how kachasparsha kshata ayushaha. Kshata ayushaha means decrease in the duration of life. And kachasparsha, the Kauravas and all the soldiers who sided the Kauravas, kshata ayushaha, there was a decrease in the duration of their life for having kachasparsha, roughly handled the hair of the chaste Draupadi. Draupadi, chaste. What are we talking about? The first question that most people in the world outside are going to ask us, you're talking of Draupadi and chaste? A lady who was married to five men? Well, if a man can marry five women, why are you questioning a lady marrying five men? That's my immediate response to that question. Of course, I'm not supporting either or. Otherwise, I'll be in the newspapers tomorrow. You know, Gaur Gopal Das of ISKCON says, men can marry more than one woman, and women can marry more than one man. I'm not supporting either or. I'm just saying, if the question is, if a man can marry more than one woman, why should immediately this question come up? Why should a woman, man, why can't a woman then marry more than one man? Don't get me wrong, please. I'm just saying, as an immediate counter to that question that people ask, you know, generally there is such a controversy about this polygamy thing, you know. In one of the western temples of ISKCON, just close to the temple, was a nunnery. And just in that nunnery, the nuns did not like the Hare Krishna devotees, because they were making a lot of noise. We are known for our noise, you know. Of course, it's transcendental noise, but outside they only take it as noise. We are known for our noise. We are known for being strange. We are known for being weirdos. We are known for our lifestyle being out of place. We are known for not conforming to the normal, quote unquote, normal lifestyle of what people lead out there. So they were not at all in favor of the Hare Krishna devotees there. Consequently, they filed a suit against the Hare Krishna devotees in the court and said that this temple and this religion should not be allowed in this country because it promotes promiscuity. Hare Krishna devotees promoting promiscuity. One of our regulative principles is no illicit sex. You know. And the point was, their God Krishna married 16,108 queens. And their God Krishna, in addition, had 16,000 girlfriends as well. The gopis of Vrindavan. That's additional. And if this is the kind of religion we are promoting, what would happen in society? People would take undue license in the name of religion and start doing all of these things. So this case was filed in the court and the devotees were called in the court. Devotees are smart. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna Bhakta Sei Bodo Chatur. A Krishna Bhakta is very chatur. So when the devotees were asked to present their case, the devotee spoke to the judge and said, I just would like to have the privilege of asking a question to the nun who is present here in the court today. So then this devotee asked the nun, when you took to this life of being a nun, I'm sure you took some vows, right? She said, yes. She said, if you did take a vow, what was your vow? She said, when we take to the life of being a nun, we take a vow that for life we are married to Jesus. Then the devotee said, and how many nuns are there in the world today? They're definitely more than 16,108. So said, now we must file a case against Jesus Christ that he's married to more than 16,108 ladies. And the nun said, let's dismiss the case, don't worry. And of course the case was dismissed and the temple of ISKCON prevailed there. But no doubt this is a question that comes into account constantly. Chastity, loyalty. And especially we hear Draupadi marrying 5 men. In the Vedic times, like we heard the other day, a Kshatriya was allowed polygamy because of the mode of passion prevailing in him. It was not a general case, but Kshatriya, because the mode of passion was so prevalent and prominent, a Kshatriya would be allowed polygamy in those days. But a lady marrying 5 men is just too much for people. And if we do not understand it in proper perspective based on the Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya of Shripad Madhvacharya, we will always remain mistaken as to the authenticity of the character of Draupadi. In fact, without knowing the background, most all of us remain confused. We still cannot figure out why and how. We still cannot figure out the mystery of why and how. Why Draupadi would be married to 5 men like this? And believe me, if we do not understand the background, if we do not give a benefit of doubt, we will be judgmental and make wrong conclusions about these personalities and tread into the dangerous zone of what is called as offense, aparadh. And is it not true about the life of devotees as well? That if we do not know the background, if we do not know the particular situations that led to a devotee saying or doing something, we tread into the dangerous zone of offending that devotee. And therefore, without knowing the situation, without knowing the background, to jump to conclusions and enter into this dangerous disease of judgmentalism is extremely detrimental to Vaishnava life. Many a times we all have been a victim to this, and the world of ISKCON and the world of Vaishnavism has seen how judgmentalism can lead to the downfall of a devotee. Look at this. Kutta kachasparsha kshatayusha. The duration of life is decreased by roughly handling the hair of Draupadi. And it's not just physical handling. Roughly handling the character of Draupadi by being judgmental could be very detrimental to our spiritual life. I was telling a story at our Buckland retreat. Recently in Bombay, I was invited to go for a kirtan program. And there were about 150-200 devotees there. And one of the devotee boys who had come there brought his grandmother for the kirtan from a Maharashtrian family, Marathi speaking lady. And he had told me that my grandmother is a professional established singer. She is about 75 years old and she had been singing for a long time. So she came and she was sitting on the chair looking at me, you know, and I was chanting. And after all, we are chanting to please Krishna and serve Guru and Krishna. But when a professional singer who has been singing for so long comes and sits there in front of them to sing, you do take a little pressure, isn't it? So I was trying to make sure that my harmonium notes were right. I was trying to make sure that my throat was sufficiently moist by drinking water, and I was singing the right notes and not messing up the notes. And every now and then I was looking at her and she was like, cold face, you know. Some people are not always very expressive. So she was just sitting there after the kirtan program was over. Then the devotee brought the grandmother to meet me. So I said, how was it? How was the program? You know, it's good to get compliment from established people. How do you sing? How do you do? Get endorsements from the right people. So I asked her, how was it? Now, she said it in Hindi, Marathi, which the exact translation of it in English is hard, but I'll try it. You know, she said in Marathi, which can be translated in Hindi also rightly, but English is hard. In Hindi, she said, वैसे अच्छा था. You know, which in English would translate, actually, it was good. You know, so when you say like that, you actually feel in your heart, why you add that word actually, which means it wasn't so good. Probably that's how she spoke. So in order to, sometimes you show artificial humility, you know. So in order to show some artificial humility, I said, Mataji, I am Besur. Besur means I don't sing in Swara, Sur. Sur is notes. I am Besur. Which means I'm not in tone, not in proper tone with the notes. She said, yes, that's right. My God, I'll tell you. It was such a shock to me. How could someone dare speak like that? I mean, even if I am, and I am, I know I'm not saying I'm not. I am Besur. But even if I am, how do you say it straight on your face? And the first response in my mind, believe me, the first immediate thing in my mind was, what a lady, you know. Doesn't even know space sensitivities of how to speak. So then the devotee was standing there. He felt so restless. He said, Prabhuji, I must tell you something. She's deaf. She can't hear properly. And then I remember once I had gone to their home and I had, you know, actually known that she was deaf and forgotten that she was deaf. And then I loudly said, Mataji, I'm Besur, Besur. Then she said, Besur? Impossible. If you are Besur, I would never have sat in your skinging. Then I said, now you have truly understood who I am, you know. And I was thinking to myself, if I wouldn't have known that she was deaf, what would my judgment be? What a gross woman. What an insensitive woman. How does she speak? Look at how she speaks. She has no considerations of what to say, what not to say, where to speak, where not to speak. And therefore, in Vaishnava dealings, one very, very important principle of not being careful of not getting into the dangerous zone of aparad is to always function by this phrase, benefit of doubt. This phrase, benefit of doubt, is the foundational principle of Vaishnava dealings. This phrase, benefit of doubt, is the foundational principle of Vaishnava dealings. Why? Because if we do not give a benefit of doubt to other devotees, do not understand what the situation was, it's very easy to come to a conclusion and brand someone as wrong. But why someone did what he or she did, if it's not known to us, we will be erroneous in our conclusions. And so is the case with trying to understand Draupadi. Is she chaste? Or is she not chaste? Here, look. She is so chaste, considered in Prabhupada's commentary explained, she is so chaste that the duration of life of the Kauravas was diminished by roughly handling her. And she has 5 husbands. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes tell a funny story. He said there was King Krishnachandra in Bengal and he had a court jester whose name was Gopal Bhan. And Prabhupada used to very, you know, with great gusto tell the stories of Krishnachandra and Gopal Bhan and make the devotees really happy and ecstatic. You know, he was very funny. Prabhupada was very funny and hilarious at times. So Prabhupada said, Raja Krishnachandra told Gopal Bhan that I want you to write a Mahabharata and I should be the main character of the Mahabharata. So Gopal Bhan said, yes, no problem, give me 10,000 gold coins. So he took the 10,000 gold coins. And after taking the 10,000 gold coins, 6 months had passed by, still the Mahabharata was not ready. So Raja Krishnachandra said, what happened to the Mahabharata? He said, no, lot of extra thinking has to be done because the characters have to be replaced with you as the hero. So you please give me 10,000 gold coins more. So he took 10,000 gold coins and at the end of a whole year, still the Mahabharata wasn't ready. Now Krishnachandra was getting really fidgety and restless. He said,
What happened? I told you to write the Mahabharata. He said, yeah, everything is ready. The whole book is written. Just one question I have. One clarification. You know, since you are supposed to be the main character of the Mahabharata. So I have made you Yudhishthir Maharaj. So I just want to ask you, who are the other four husbands of your wife? So since you are Yudhishthir, so your wife must be having four other men as husbands, right? So please tell me the names of the four other husbands and I'll complete the Mahabharata. King said, project cancelled. and the project was completely, Prabhupada told the story and said, Draupadi's chastity, despite marrying five men. Shripad Madhvacharya brings to our attention in his Mahabharata Tatpara Nirnaya, the background of Draupadi. In her past life, Draupadi was a staunch worshipper of Lord Shiva. And she had gone and done great tapasya to get a husband who would be perfect and strong. Draupadi had gone to Lord Shiva and after performing tapasya, offered worship according to the protocols of Lord Shiva's worship. And based on the particular tapasya and worship she did, that one worship would allow her to make a prayer and Lord Shiva would fulfill that prayer. One prayer. And she had performed tapasya and worship in such an amazing, incredible way. Draupadi prayed for a perfect and a strong husband. She didn't realize, however, while praying, she said the same thing five times. She offered that prayer five times. And according to Shripad Madhvacharya, that benediction of Lord Shiva fructified into getting five husbands who were the five Pandavas. Now, while Draupadi was married to the five Pandavas, you know, Pandavas were completely confused, and that's when Vyasadeva comes and reveals this. Vyasadeva comes and reveals this in the Mahabharata of how Draupadi had prayed like that earlier. And they took a vow. Vyasadeva made them all take a vow that each of the Pandavas will remain with her only for 1 year. And when that particular Pandava is with her, no one else can enter into the room when they are in confidence, just spending time with each other. And we know the story, Krishna Dharma Prabhu gave a reference to that yesterday, that when Arjun happened to go inside, then he had to be away for a while performing austerity and tapasya. There is another story that Mahabharata Tatparinaya mentions, the details of which I have completely forgotten. And I unfortunately don't have the book with me here. I haven't brought that book, so I can't remember. But there was also a benediction to Draupadi that the five wives of the five particular demigods that were present in the Pandavas, Yudhishthir, Yamaraj, Bhima was an amsha of Vayu, Arjun was an amsha of Indra, and the two twins, Nakul and Sahadeva, were amshas of Ashwin Kumaras. So the five wives, respective wives of these personalities, were also present in Draupadi, and there is a story for that which unfortunately I cannot recall to memory at this point of time, but there is a reference to that, where all these wives also were present in the personality of Draupadi. Like the amshas of the Devas were present in the personality of the Pandavas, the amshas of the Devas' wives were present in the personality of Draupadi. Therefore, whenever Draupadi and a particular Pandava came together, it was the particular Devata and the particular amsha of that wife who came together, and thus Draupadi's chastity remained absolutely clean and untouched. Because it was that Deva and the amsha, the wife of that particular Deva, who were coming together. And therefore, the fact of the matter is that Draupadi's chastity cannot be questioned based on the references given in our scriptures, particularly the Mahabharata Tatpari Nirinaya of Shripad Madhvacharya. And thus, Srila Prabhupada's first lesson from the story is this, that women have to be protected, women have to be respected, women have to be treated with the highest level of dignity, because the womb of a woman is the future of the society. It is a woman who gives birth to a child. All the sannyasis are born from a mother. All the Kshatriya leaders, kings are born from a mother. All those who have invented the most wonderful things in the world today are born from a mother. And not only are they born from a mother, but the love, the affection, the training that a mother gives to the child can make or break the future of the world. Therefore, a woman plays such a key role, such an important role in society. And Srila Prabhupada was very uncompromising in talking about these things. You know, extremely uncompromising in how to offer protection to women in our society. Sometimes, you know, there is a big discussion amongst devotees of Manu says, women should be protected. And sometimes ladies say, why should women be protected? Aren't we capable enough of protection? But I always took it in a certain spirit. You know, when you, how many of you purchased a glass item, a very delicate glass item, decorative item? If you purchased a very decorative, delicate glass cup, it comes in a box, and on the box the sticker says, fragile, handle with care. When it says fragile, handle with care, that does not minimize the value of that. It's such a precious commodity. It is so precious that it has to be handled with care and protected. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic about the protection of women and treating women with great dignity. One time one reporter came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, in your society, you seem to be male chauvinistic. And in your society, it seems that you give too much prominence to men and you do not give enough prominence to women. Srila Prabhupada said, who says? Prabhupada said, who says? And then Prabhupada said, look at our society. Our whole society is based on the Vedas, and three of the most important portfolios in the administration of the universe are taken care of by women. He said, education ministry, Saraswati, you know, finance ministry, Lakshmi, and defense ministry, Durga. These three ministries in any country, these three portfolios are considered to be the most important portfolios for a nation. And Srila Prabhupada said, see, in the administration of the universe, all three are women. And then Prabhupada turned to the reporter and said, who said that we do not give importance to women? Look on the altar. The most important personality on the altar is not Krishna. Who cares for Krishna? Krishna has nothing to do with us. I am not saying. Otherwise you will say, I have quotations for that. I don't pick unreferenced stuff. You know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we have nothing to do with Krishna. And he even said, use that word, we have nothing to do with that debauchee Krishna. All, we only have something to do with the Divine Mother, Srimati Radharani. And because Krishna has some connection with her, we have something to do with him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada said that. You know, the whole movement of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is based on Srimati Radharani's grace, the Divine Mother's grace. I was saying at Bucklin, you know, Krishna says, you come to me. He folds his hand like this and says, come to me, I'll save you from sin. And Srimati Radharani holds her hand like this and says, you come to me, I'll save you from him. Because he is a very strict God. If you don't do this, this problem. If you don't do this, this. If you don't do this, so many rules and regulations. She says, rules, this Kali Yuga walas, London walas, Mumbai walas, what rules will they be able to follow? You come, you chant Hare Krishna, you sleep, but you chant. You don't worry. You know, you go around, your mind is distracted, don't worry, you chant. I will give the magic touch, the King Midas touch in your chanting. Because I am holding the, your chanting, you offer your chanting to me and I'll offer the chanting to Krishna. After having given the magic touch, Krishna, look, this is the chanting that your devotee did for you. Krishna will say, but this is impure, this consciousness is bad, this is totally distracted. I don't take chanting like the third class chanting. I don't take chanting like that. And therefore Srimati Radharani waves her magic wand, the magic wand of grace, the magic wand of kripa. And then our bhoga, our consciousness, our chanting is offered. And Krishna says, what a devotee. he thinks that we are devotees. She does the magic and we think we are the devotees. And therefore, we are not a male chauvinistic movement. We are a female chauvinistic movement. If you carefully study our teachings, we are not at all a male dominated movement. We are a female dominated movement because everything begins from there. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada encouraged the ladies in our society so much. So many of the senior ladies of Srila Prabhupada are here. And what love he had for his lady disciples. And what love his lady disciples had for him. In Mayapur, one time in one of his godbrother's place, Prabhupada had called one godbrother for prasad. And he was sitting. And Malati Devi, she was there. She had cooked. And she wanted to offer that. But she thought, how will I come in front of Srila Prabhupada when this sannyasi is sitting? So very carefully she kind of came down and put that prasad there. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Isitaram Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai. Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai. So very carefully she put that prasadam down there. And the sannyasi saw that. She was like very, you know, like this. And then Prabhupada said, just see, this girl, Malati, she loves me so much, she can slit her throat for me. And Prabhupada said, I love her so much, I can slit my throat for her. You know, so much encouragement. Nowhere in the Vedic culture, except for a few exceptions, do you find ladies given the privilege of chanting the Gayatri Mantra. Nowhere in the Vedic scriptures we find the ladies given the privilege of entering on the altar and doing the puja for the deities. Srila Prabhupada gives so much importance to ladies in our society and to the protection of ladies. Why? Because yes, they are the mothers of the society. The future of the whole human society depends on protection of women. That's of course one aspect of this. That the whole story of Draupadi being disrobed and the destruction of Kauravas comes from an offense to a chaste woman. Kata kachasparsha kshatayoshaha. For having dealt, roughly mishandled the hair of Draupadi. The second perspective to the story I would like to also present is, why would someone like Yudhishthir gamble? The whole episode of Draupadi Vastraharan comes from the gambling match. If Yudhishthir Maharaj is Dharmaraj and he is the embodiment of religious principles, how could he engage into something called as gambling? One of our devotees settled down in Las Vegas, you know. He's a Hare Krishna devotee. And he was calling me, Prabhuji, please come to Las Vegas to preach. I said, preach where? In casinos? He was saying, Prabhuji, please come to Las Vegas and please preach here. How do I go to preach there where everyone, the whole atmosphere there? If you go to Las Vegas, the whole atmosphere there is of gambling. And gambling brings along with it associated sinful things. One time one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, the devotee was getting ready in the night. And the next morning, of course, the devotees came back and said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, last night we went to a club to preach. People were drinking, dancing, doing all kinds of things. Prabhupada said, that's good, but that's no place for brahmacharis to go. So you need not go to club. Leave that to someone. You don't have to go there. And one time Prabhupada said, if you're going there to preach, make sure you return back also. Because you may go there to preach, and Prabhupada may have to go finding, where is that devotee? So this devotee was saying, please come to Las Vegas to preach. Gambling. My God. You know what is the worst thing in gambling? The worst thing in gambling is to just allow the person who is gambling to win for a while. And every casino, every gambling den knows how to integrate these systems in their mechanisms so as to make those people feel that they are winning for a while. And as they keep winning for a while, they get just so addicted to it, keep waging. And finally, lose practically everything. Was Yudhishthir addicted to gambling? Did he love the game of gambling? Were Kshatriyas allowed to engage in gambling? One devotee was recently sharing a very interesting perspective. See if you like it. Good one. He said, if you just see carefully the evolution of sports in our life, how we play as children. As little children, the first kind of games that we play, the more importance is given to rules and regulations. You shouldn't cross this line, you should be within this line. All the games draw rules and regulations for children. You know, how many of you played dog and the bone? You know, oh, it's not here in England? I don't know. The game where, you know, you draw a line and there's some handkerchief, two teams there and you have to come and pick it. I don't know, it's called dog and the bone. I don't know what games you all play here. But India had all kinds of games, you know, and just to talk about the games is reminiscing, you know, just go back to the childhood and say, wow, please tell more, you know, Prabhuji, we want to give work to children. Too much stress in adulthood. So there's more emphasis on rules and regulations. As a child grows more and comes to teens, then the emphasis is more on focus. You know, I don't know how many of you, I don't know in England if you have this game called Seven Tiles, where you put this seven tiles and you hit it with a ball and you have to really be focused. But as one grows into an adult and takes the position of a leader, there are games which bring us to a stage of helpless dependence, where things are not in our control, where things are left to destiny. And one game that brings us to helplessness and depend on destiny is the game of dice. Because you can't do anything. There's no control. One cannot decide that these particular moves will make me win. Because when you throw the dice, where is a move? You throw the dice and you are just at the hands of destiny. Whether it will be 6, whether it will be 8, whether it will be 12, there's no idea what will fall. And therefore, Kshatriyas, because they had such controllership, constantly being in control, to also cultivate the feelings of helplessness and dependence, they were allowed to play the game of dice. We never knew this. We never knew the psychological reason why Kshatriyas were allowed to play the game of dice. Because constantly being in the position of a controller, so also to be dependent, helpless, they were allowed to play the game. Here, I have no control. Here, I cannot choose. I have to rely on forces that are beyond me. So when I'm constantly relying on my ability, my power, my resources, my people, my armies, then there was a time when you were allowed to play this, where you say, well, here my destiny controls me. I can't do anything in this regard. When I went to Dwarka for the first time, the deity of Dwarkadhish every night plays the game of dice with Rukmini. Every night there is a game of dice. In fact, when Draupadi was being disrobed, according to His Holiness Gaurgovind Swami, Krishna was playing dice with Rukmini in Dwarka. When in Hastinapur, the dice game was happening here and the dice game was happening there. There it was for entertainment, here there were wagers being put. You know? And therefore, gambling was allowed to Kshatriyas to experience this feeling. When the Pandavas, they came to Indraprastha and Yudhishthir Maharaj was coronated as the Chakravarti Samrat, the emperor. At that time Vyasadev was there. Shishupal was killed in that assembly, and Shishupal, my God, critical. God, the tongue couldn't speak anything sweet. Couldn't speak anything sweet. You know, that Shishupal mentality. The tongue vibrating gossip. Non-stop gossip. You know, Shishupal mentality. It's a Shishupal conditioning for the tongue. Gossiping, gossiping, criticizing, condemning, backbiting, even in devotee communities. You know, sometimes we have nothing to do with someone or other just for no reason. Picking something up and just talking, criticizing, condemning. You know, Shishupal was killed in the assembly during the Rajasuya Yajna. And Yudhishthir asked Vyasadev, why? In such an auspicious assembly, why? Why such an inauspicious thing happened? And Vyasadeva said something that shook Yudhishthira to the core. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't take it. Vyasadeva said, Yudhishthir, listen to these words of mine. 13 years from now, this is in the Mahabharata, you can read it. He said, 13 years from now, Kala, the time factor, and Krishna, the Supreme Lord, will use you as an instrument for what is called as Lokakshaya, the complete destruction of unwanted elements on planet Earth. Yudhishthir got unnerved. Me being the cause of destruction, me being the cause of killing of so many innocent people as well, me being the cause of destruction from so many lives, I don't want to do it. My dear Vyasadeva, I take a vow right now. Yudhishthir is very well known for vows. I take a vow right now that I shall never ever disobey the words of my superiors. And that is where he was stuck. This was the reason he took a vow. If I am going to be the cause of the destruction of thousands of lives, I take a vow. I feel that if I disobey my superiors, that's when it will be. I take a vow that I'll never disobey my superiors. And when one takes a vow, it is immediately put to test. We can all see in our personal lives. As soon as we make a vow, Krishna immediately puts that vow to test. One time I decided I'll not eat sweets. For 6 months. I was telling the story last night at the Haru Jamin. I came to the deities at Chopati and offered to the deities from today onwards. For the next 6 months, I offer eating of sweets and deep fried savory items unto your lotus feet. I don't want to take these for just taking some voluntary austerity. So when I said that, then that day, that evening I gave a talk and a couple came to meet after the talk. And they said, Prabhuji, we just returned back from Switzerland. You know the next part of the story, of course. I said, really? Prabhu, we bought for you special lint Lindor. I said, I don't take chocolates, Mother. I don't take chocolate. No, Prabhu, not chocolate. White chocolate. And in my mind, I was thinking, you couldn't come one day before? Couldn't you just come one day earlier? And you know, they bought 25 bars. 25 bars. And so expensive, you know, the most exquisite offerable to Krishna. And I was looking at those bars in my room. And I was thinking, Gopinath, can I begin from tomorrow? But somehow, for heaven's sake, good sense prevailed and I had made a vow, so I didn't. And then I kept calling all the brahmacharis from the ashram and kept giving them one bar each. And they were saying, you won't eat? No, I don't. I'm you take. As if I was so detached, you know. You please take it. And we have all seen that when we make a vow, it is immediately put to test. Yudhishthir Maharaj made that vow. I will not disobey my superiors. So firstly, Kshatriyas were allowed because for cultivating that dependence on destiny. Secondly, he made a vow that I won't disobey my superiors. And this word spread far and wide. You know how word spreads? I don't know how it spreads, but it spreads. I don't know how it spreads, but it spreads. Immediately something happens within 5 minutes. The other day I was walking with someone, very senior devotee, and one devotee took a picture of mine walking. And within 3 minutes, here in England, within 3 minutes, I got the same picture from India back again. While I was walking. Jai, WhatsApp ki jai. Sorry, you know, you just 3 minutes, I can't imagine what happens, you know. Spread so fast. If those days it could spread so fast, you can imagine today with WhatsApp and Facebook and Twitter and Orkut. It's gone, of course, Orkut, you know, and all of these social media, how quickly this thing can spread. Duryodhan immediately got to know. Yudhishthira has made a vow that I shall not disobey any of the superiors. He went and he told Dhritarashtra, I want you, father, to call this man for a game of dice. And Dhritarashtra said, son, you will play for fun, right? And, yeah, we will play for fun, don't you worry. Dhritarashtra called Vidur. Because he knew, if he would send anyone else, Yudhishthir would doubt. He sent Vidur, whose character was so clean, go Vidur and call Yudhishthir for this gambling match of dice. Vidura came to Yudhishthir. And Vidura asked Yudhishthir. Dhritarashtra told us, and Vidura gave good advice to Yudhishthir. I am telling you, Yudhishthir, there is a conspiracy. I am giving you good advice. In the Mahabharata, in the first chapter, it explains there are 6 flags that decorate the Mahabharata. Like every chariot has a flag, there are 6 flags that decorate the Mahabharata. And one of the 4 flags that decorates the Mahabharata is the forward-thinking nature of Vidura. And that wasn't based on some astrological calculations. That was based on historical situations and on the present day situations. He could see forward. He was a forward thinking personality. Vidura told, I can see a clear conspiracy there, Yudhishthir. Straight away, say a no. I've come on behalf of Dhritarashtra to invite you for this gambling match, but as a well-wisher, I'm telling you there is a conspiracy there. Say a no. But Yudhishthir had just taken a vow. I shall not disobey my superiors. We are again stuck between high, higher and highest. A high principle was not to disobey the superiors. A higher principle was to consider what would be the consequences, knowing well, and it wasn't once. They had already experienced the Kauravas. Bhima was poisoned. The house of lack had come. Had Yudhishthir not seen the evil nature of Duryodhan? He had seen. Time and again, history had proven how the Kauravas had always tried to destroy the Pandavas. And this would not be an exception. If only he would have considered a higher principle above the high principle. Yes, following that dharma of not disobeying the superiors and the vow that he had taken was important. But a higher dharma was to see how the security of the family and Hastinapur was ensured. And the highest dharma, which at that time of course Yudhishthir would not see, was Krishna's will. There is high, there is higher, and there is highest. You know? And therefore, Yudhishthir, again a great devotee, but from a human point of view we are discussing, became a victim of what is called as Niyamagraha in the nectar of instruction. Following the rules for the sake of following them. Being a staunch adherent of the principles of dharma. Being a staunch adherent of the vows that I have taken. I cannot disobey my superiors. Vidura, who is a forward-seeing man, who is such a wise man, telling him, say no, Yudhishthir. Say no. Stuck to his vow. That was the one mistake made by Yudhishthir. Of course, again, as I said earlier, even in the previous class, stuck, made, when we talk about mistakes, we are looking at from the human point of view. From the highest perspective, it's Krishna's will. And Krishna's will orchestrates all of these things to bring about the Mahabharata, as we have heard earlier. Of course, all of us know the story of how the gambling match took place. Shakuni was the one who was throwing the dice. The dice was made from the bones of his father. The dice, Shakuni. You know that Shakuni was from Afghanistan, right? Gandhar, which was Kandahar, today's Kandahar, was previously Gandhar. So Gandhar Naresh and Gandhari was from Afghanistan. So she was an Afghani lady, you know. And Shakuni made the dice out of the bones of his father. And there were spirits living in that dice. Spirits which could follow the command. Spirits at the Bhaktivedanta manor also, right? Many times. They don't very often follow our commands. But nevertheless, spirits which could follow the command, and therefore Shakuni, when he could order the dice could fall to where it was. And here was Yudhishthir, waging his money, his property, Indraprastha, gone. Dushasan, Duryodhan waged his brother. The condition was you would wage equal amount. So whatever he would wage, whatever Duryodhan would wage, Yudhishthir would also have to put the same. So now Duryodhan brought one of his brothers. Yudhishthir had to put one of his brothers. And one by one, the brothers were gone. Now came the time where Yudhishthir waged himself and lost everything. Duryodhan said, but your wife is still there. And Draupadi was waged. Yudhishthir lost. When Draupadi was lost, when Draupadi came in the assembly of Hastinapur, Draupadi spoke to Pitamaha Bhishma and said to Pitamaha Bhishma, what kind of dharma is this? They are thinking that I am their property? Yudhishthir and the Pandava are thinking that I am their property? Firstly, according to the proper rules, Yudhishthir was already lost. How could he wage me? He has already lost himself. He couldn't wage me. And more than that, they think I am their wife. I am not their wife. Draupadi says, if any husband thinks that a wife is his wife, he is an illusion. You read the Mahabharata. Verses of the Mahabharata. Draupadi says, I am a devotee of Lord Krishna. Any devotee of Krishna accepts Krishna as the master in life. Whether man or woman, Krishna is the master of every devotee's life. And no one can claim proprietorship over Krishna's property. Draupadi says, I was only entrusted under their care. And Srila Prabhupada again and again emphasized on this principle, particularly for grihasthas, where the husband and the wife both think that this is Krishna's son, as a husband, entrusted under my care. This is Krishna's daughter, as a wife, entrusted under my care. And when one takes that as the guiding principle of grihastha life, sometimes in our society we can get into so many details of how to sort out issues, and which is very good. But we cannot forego the underlying principles. The universal principle of grihastha life is this, that a grihastha is simply a trustee of Krishna's property. So Draupadi said to Pitamaha Bhishma, they are saying, I am their wife, I am their property. If I was their property, they could wage. I am Krishna's property, only entrusted under their care. How could they wage me? How could they wage me and put me at stake? Of course, Bhishma was silent. Drona was silent. And if you see from the human point of view, we see, Prabhupada explains in the Gita purport, how they had eaten the salt of the Kauravas. Constant association with demoniac personalities can also change a divine person into siding adharma. Bhishma was helpless, quiet. His allegiance to the throne of Hastinapur made him dumb, silent, you know. Drona, the highest Brahmana, the knower of all the Vedic literature, was silent. And here in the assembly of Hastinapur, the Asat Sabha was such brutal injustice hurled at a woman. Such brutal injustice. How can anyone be forgiven for it? How can anyone be forgiven for such brutal justice done, such brutal injustice done to such a great lady, such a chaste lady as Draupadi? And therefore even Bhishma had to pay the price. Even Bhishma had to pay the price. Being arrows paid, penetrating his body. And Srila Prabhupada comments in one place, even if one may be a great Mahajan and Mahabhagavat as Bhishma, if one sides adharma, one will have to pay the price. Therefore, when we see Bhishma as a Mahajan, we see Krishna is using him as a pawn on the other side to show us that if we side adharma, no matter who we are, We have to pay the price. When Bhishma was lying on the battlefield with his arrows, all these arrows, my God. How many of you have gone through acupuncture? Have you taken acupuncture? Not talking of acupressure, acupuncture. When you have these hundreds of needles all pierced through you, God, it is painful, you know. Imagine this acupuncture. Lying there waiting for Krishna to come. And Krishna brought Yudhishthir. And Pitamaha Bhishma started speaking on dharma, Sri dharma, Raj dharma, Bhagavad dharma. And Draupadi started laughing, you know. She said, you're talking dharma? Pitamaha, you're talking dharma? What happened to you when I was in the assembly of Hastinapur being disrobed by that Dushasan? Where was your dharma then? Why were you so quiet then? Today you have the courage to speak on dharma to my husband Yudhishthir. Where was your dharma when I was being disrobed? Why were you dumb and silent? And Pitamaha Bhishma replied to Draupadi and he said, my dear daughter, you should know that when I was in the assembly of Hastinapur in the Asat Sabha, because of eating the salt of the Kauravas, my blood was impure. And that impure blood did not allow me to speak the truth. But your husband Arjun, what a warrior, kept shooting arrows, and all the impure blood is gone now. Therefore now dharma is coming out. All the impure blood lying on the bed of arrows been drained out. All the impurities have gone, and therefore I'm able to even discuss the subject matter of dharma with you, you know. Draupadi, helpless lady. Imagine, I was mentioning even the day before yesterday, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. It's very easy to sympathize with someone who has gone through abuse. Very difficult to empathize. We cannot understand the exact feelings. We can keep talking, we can keep analyzing, we can keep going through the details of the issue. We will never, ever be able to have that feeling in our heart of what a person goes through. And therefore, while we live in a devotee community, more than sympathy, devotees need empathy. Sympathy is all fine. Devotees feel that they have a strong need to be understood what they are going through. You know, Draupadi, she tried a lot, kept trying to save herself from the hands of Dushasan, the power of 10,000 elephants. She was not in a state to come the 3 days that a woman is in. She was staying there, her hair let loose. And when she was lost, Duryodhan said, go and get Draupadi in the assembly. She sent a soldier. Draupadi said, I'm a queen. I don't go with a soldier. Get lost out of here. When the soldier came back and said, the Samragi won't come back, Duryodhan told Dushasan, you go. Go and get. And Dushasan, Kachasparsha Kshatayusha, Kachasparsha, held her by the hair and dragged her into the assembly of Hastinapur. Dragged her. Pulled her in. My God. Shouldn't happen with any woman or anyone for that matter. Such a great devotee as Draupadi. Is this what Krishna does? Let's stop chanting Hare Krishna if this is what Krishna does to his devotee. Let's give up the worship of Radha Gokul Ananda if this is what Krishna does to his devotee. Dragged her and you know. And that wretched Duryodhan started patting his thigh and saying, bring her and put her here. And that wretched Karna, he had the guts to say that she's a prostitute. A cheap prostitute. A low-class woman. Yes, this is what she deserves, to be dragged into the assembly. This is what she deserves, to sit on the thigh of Duryodhan. My God, that assembly, I'm telling you, when we read the verses and see what happens there, actually the verses of the Mahabharata go through the Sanskrit of the Mahabharata verses, we truly start getting into that situation of what was happening with Draupadi. She was howling, screaming, yelling for help. Turned towards Bhishma, didn't say anything. Turned towards Drona, didn't say anything. Turned towards her husbands, didn't say anything. They were all quiet, bound by a high principle and forgetting the higher principle. Should he have been so attached to his high principle? Therefore, being good is good. But sometimes good comes in the way of a higher principle as well. My God. There was Yudhishthir, quiet. As Draupadi turned to her husbands, all shelters disappointed her. Every single shelter of this world is extremely disappointing. We can use them, we can be with them, but we should know. No shelter in this world, no shelter in this world comes to our rescue ultimately. Family, resources, power, sattva, the power of goodness, adhering by dharma, nothing comes to her rescue. She was helpless. And you know what happens generally? Helplessness leads to hopelessness. And hopelessness leads to godlessness. We see in this world how when people are helpless, they become hopeless. And when they are hopeless, they become godless. Why is God doing this to me? This lady stood there, eyes closed, her palms in supplication, held tight, calling out for Krishna. And at a later time, as Prabhupada said, raising her arms high up in the air and calling out for Krishna. You know? Agre kurunam atha pandavanam dushasanena hrita vastrakeshah Krishna tadakroshamananyanatha Govinda damodara madhaveti Govinda damodara madhaveti Govinda damodara madhaveti Below Mangal Thakur in his Krishna Karanamrit has explained Agre kurunam on the one side kurus Atha pandavanam on the other side pandavas Dushasanena Hrita Vastra Keshaha and Dushasan came and Hrita Vastra Keshaha dragged her by the hair and Vastra was now disrobing her. And when she saw that no shelter was helping her, Krishna tadakrosham ananyanatha, there is no other Nath. There is no other Nath in this world, Draupadi said. Yes, I'll follow my dharma to my husbands. And what a lady, you know. To me, the main character of the Mahabharata is not Arjun. The main character of the Mahabharata is Draupadi. And the whole Mahabharata revolves around her. She is the heroine of the book. You know? That lady, after all of this happened, continuing with the husband again? After all of this was done, still she kept going with them, kept supporting them. My God, I cannot imagine. And I'm not recommending anything. I'm not recommending anything, I'm not suggestive of anything, so please don't get me wrong. Anything, you know, it can be taken out of context. Anything can be taken out of context. So I'm just saying, what is the greatness of that lady? It's not easy, you know. Not at all easy. And therefore Draupadi took shelter of Krishna helplessly. Hopelessness, helplessness to hopelessness, hopelessness to godlessness. But in her case, it didn't. And Krishna rushed. And His Holiness Gaurgovind Swami Maharaj says that, you know, Krishna and Rukmini were playing dice. And when she started calling Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, if you go to Dwarka, there is the exact place, spot where Krishna and Rukmini were playing dice, from where Krishna left is still there. It's called Pancha Pandav Tirtha. If you ever visit Dwarka, do visit this place called Pancha Pandav Tirtha. A very crucial spot in the Mahabharata. As they were playing dice, Rukmini said, Krishna, can't you hear? This is Dwarka, Gujarat, and that is, you know, Hastinapur, Delhi. Far, you know, no flights. Indigo, Go Air, Jet Airways, Air India, no flights. Said, Krishna, your devotee Draupadi is calling for you. I said, no, I don't know how to go. Rukmini said, say it again. Your devotee is calling, Krishna tad akroshavananyata. I don't know how to go. What do you mean to save your devotee? Come on, go take Garuda. Say, Garuda, he's too sluggish. Garuda Airlines. Very slow. You know, when I went to save Gajendra, I was running and I was telling Garuda, go fast, but Garuda wouldn't go fast. Finally, he was trying to keep up and Garuda fainted. So I had to carry Garuda on my back and I was rushing simultaneously towards Gajendra and my dhoti started slipping off. So I was holding my dhoti, holding Garuda, and I also was manifesting water to bring him back to consciousness, holding the dhoti. This is explained by Madhvacharya in his commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Garuda is useless. He said, Garuda is useless, my dear Lord, faster than Garuda Airlines is the fastest internet network, the Parmatma network. You're in the heart of Dushasan. Give him a heart attack. You know, Lord Krishna said, Paramatma is very slow. Paramatma is slow before we have a thought, he knows it. So Rukmini said, if Garuda is slow, Paramatma is slow, who is fast? And Krishna disappeared. Didn't answer the question. Krishna disappeared and supplied unlimited sari to Draupadi. The first textile mill. Krishna saris. Unlimited sari he supplied to Draupadi, you know. And after having supplied this unlimited sari to Draupadi, returned back. And when he returned back, Rukmini said, what happened? You said Garuda was slow. You said Paramatma is slow. What faster commutation means did you find? Draupadi said, Krishna said, the fastest means of commutation is the helpless tears of desperation that my devotee cries. After having taken shelter of all shelters and shelters disappoint them, when a devotee cries out in helpless desperation, those tears are faster than Garuda, those tears are faster than Paramatma. I use those as my airlines to reach my devotee. One time, Krishna came to Hastinapur and he heard some news. Bhima has started learning to sing. Bhima had started learning how to sing. And when he heard this news that Bhima had started learning how to sing, why he had started learning how to sing? Because Krishna was always praising Arjun. And Arjun was an all-rounder. He was a musician, a dancer, a singer, everything. So Krishna would say, oh, see my Sakha Arjun, how beautifully he sings. So Bhima said every time Krishna praises him only. So he started learning how to sing. He got a professional teacher to teach him singing. Now the problem was the Pandavas were very disturbed because Bhima and singing? God. You know, too much. And you know where he would practice? He would sit right at the entrance of the palace where there would be thoroughfare and he would sing. So one day Yudhishthir told Draupadi, this guy we can't handle, we can't tell him, no, you convince him. So Draupadi came and said, my dear husband, you sing nicely actually, but this is not a very good place to practice, should never be done in public. You should practice your Vidya in a secluded place. You know, so there's a beautiful forest here on top of that mountain. You go and practice. So that, you know, they knew. Otherwise everyone gets disturbed. So Bhima went and sat on top of the mountain. And you know, he started singing. And there was a man who had a donkey. So this man his donkey was lost. So he was looking for this donkey. And while looking for the donkey, he said, hey, this sound, where is this sound? My donkey seems to be there. And this man came up to the mountain and saw Bhima singing. So then he said to Bhima, Bhima said, oh, how did you come up here? He said, my donkey was lost and I thought, you know, it was here. So Bhima felt so disappointed, so absolutely disappointed. That was the last day of his singing. One morning, Bhima got up. And Yudhishthir Maharaj said to Bhima, I want you to go to Gwarka immediately and get Krishna to Hastinapur. So Bhima thought it's not such an urgent thing. So Bhima thought, you know, I will eat my breakfast. His eating is very important for him. I'll eat my breakfast, then I'll go to... Then, meanwhile, Yudhishthir Maharaj realized that Bhima was in his room and Krishna had not even come. So Yudhishthir came to his room, said, did you call Krishna? Did you bring Krishna to Hastinapur? He said, I'm sorry. I forgot. He said, you forgot. You only remember how to eat. Yudhishthir chastised Bhima. You remember only how to eat and beat people down with the club and make them to pulp. I gave you an important thing to do. You couldn't do that. I'm disgusted with you. And Bhima closed the door. And for the first time in his life, Bhima cried. Wept like a baby. And said, Krishna, only when Draupadi cries tears you come. If I cry tears, will you not come? I'm crying, please save me. You know, I wanted to come and bring you to Hastinapur. And then there was a knock at the door. Yudhishthir said, Arey, why did you lie to me? You went and brought Krishna, no? Krishna was sitting in the palace of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Krishna told Draupadi, Rukmini, the fastest means of reaching my devotee is the helpless cry of desperation, Sharanagati. Conclusively, in the Draupadi Vastraharan Prasanga, we will see, let us see how Draupadi is truly the person who adhered to the right choices, the only person for that matter, in the Mahabharata. There are three kinds of natures that all we have. One is called circumstantial nature. Second is called conditional nature. Third is called constitutional nature. What is circumstantial nature? Circumstantial nature means we act sometimes because of circumstances. We are not like that. Generally speaking, we are sweet talkers. But sometimes, the circumstance is such that we just say something. Like Yudhishthir Maharaj, you know, in the Mahabharata. He had a fight with Karna and Karna defeated Yudhishthir. And when Yudhishthir was defeated, Yudhishthir immediately retreated to his tent, his camp. And Arjun seeing, where is Yudhishthir's chariot? I can't see it. So immediately Arjun told Krishna, please take the chariot to Yudhishthir's camp. And when the chariot was brought to Yudhishthir's camp, the first question Yudhishthir asked Arjun was, did you defeat Karna? He said, no, I just came to see if you were proper, you know, if you were safe and secure, because your chariot was missing. Yudhishthir said to Arjun, you are a useless napunsaka. You are a eunuch. You know, you have not taken revenge against Karna. You are a eunuch. In fact, I'm telling you, I should have entrusted this task to Bhima, Nakul or Sahadev. You are a useless guy anyways. You know, and he said, our mother, I think, should have aborted you. Yudhishthir, this is in the Mahabharata. Our mother should have aborted you while you were 5 months in the mother's womb. In fact, I'm saying you shouldn't have been conceived by our mother. Now get lost. Quite unlike Yudhishthir, right? Will Yudhishthir ever say things? That's called circumstantial nature. You never do it. It's the circumstance that brings that response out. Duryodhan. Conditionally wrong. Circumstance sometimes becomes good. Yudhishthir sometimes becomes bad. And Duryodhan sometimes becomes good. When Krishna asked, you know, Arjuna, go and ask for those 5 arrows. He went there and said, I want those 5 arrows which are meant to kill us. Duryodhan said, 5 arrows? My dear brother, today I can give you the kingdom. Ask for it. Suddenly, circumstantial nature. Some bad person starts behaving good. Good person starts behaving bad. Arjun said, I don't want kingdom like that. We will fight for our kingdom. Give the 5 arrows. We don't want your kingdom. Then there is conditional nature. And conditional nature means the primary nature of a person. Yudhishthir, always truthful, never speaks a lie, conditional nature. Bhishma, always loyal, always based on scripture, dharma, that is his conditional nature. Dhritarashtra, always conditionally complaining, cribbing about life, conditionally, always conditioned. Arey, Vidur said, change your son, what can I do? He doesn't listen. Sometimes parents come and say like that, what can we do? Our children don't listen only. We are trying to say, what can we do? That fellow Dhritarashtra was all the time helplessly conditioned, you know. And the third is called constitutional nature. What is constitutional nature? Our connection to Krishna. Conditional nature is our karmic personality. We are good, bad karmically. Circumstantial nature is we go against our conditional nature because of circumstance. But constitutional nature is our devotional service to Krishna. And there are five levels. First, everyone, even a demon knows Krishna is God many times. Because he sees the power of Krishna. So there are five levels. It's not just knowing Krishna is God. First is to know, but to defy Krishna. That is Duryodhan. He knew Krishna is God, but he defied Krishna. Janami dharmam nachame pravritti, janami adharmam nachame nivritti. He said, I know what is dharma, but I can't follow it. And I know what is adharma, but I cannot give it up. It's very clear. And Krishna showed the universal form when he came as the peace messenger. No change. He said, Krishna, on the battlefield all this magic won't work, okay, arrows will. He called Krishna a magician and ordered all the soldiers put Krishna behind bars. Knew but defied Krishna. Second level, constitutional nature. Dhritarashtra knew Krishna is God but could not act because of attachment. Duryodhan could not act because he defied Krishna. Dhritarashtra could not act because he had attachment to his son. Such material attachments. Good advice was given by Krishna, Gandhari and Vidura. So many personalities but could not act upon it. Third, knew Krishna is God but could not act upon it because of ambition. Karna. Karna was so ambitious to become the greatest warrior. Krishna came and told Karna, you are a co-brother to the Pandavas. Come and be with them. If you are with them, Yudhishthir will enthrone you as the king. And you know what Karna said? If Yudhishthir makes me the king, I'll give it away to Duryodhan. I'll give Hastinapur to Duryodhan away. And he said, I can see, I'm seeing dreams of inauspicious omens of how Duryodhan will be defeated, of how I will be killed, how the Pandavas will be victorious. I know it all, Krishna, but I won't give up. Ambition. Fourth is the Pandavas. They knew Krishna is God. They acted upon it. They served Krishna, they took shelter of Krishna, but in one episode they forgot Krishna. In the Asat Sabha, they forgot the highest principle of Krishna. Yudhishthir went by the high principle of his word, I've given a vow, I should do it. And the other brothers went by the high principle, we cannot disobey our brother. The highest principle is Krishna. They did not, they forgot Krishna there. Draupadi, she knew Krishna's God. Her constitutional nature is the highest. And at no point of time, Draupadi forgot taking shelter of Krishna. Whether good times or bad times, her mind was completely focused on Krishna. And therefore, Draupadi happens to be the prime character of the Mahabharata. And Draupadi Vastraharan, or disrobing of Draupadi, happens to be the prime episode for the whole Mahabharata. And the second prime thing Srila Prabhupada explains is, one is offense to a chaste woman, but the second is, more than that, offense to a Vaishnavi, not just a great woman. Because she was so rooted in her constitutional nature of connecting to Krishna, that Vaishnava offense, just by this, pulling the hair of a chaste woman, everything was over. What to speak of if she is a devotee? And therefore, the whole episode of Draupadi Vastraharan, disrobing of Draupadi, teaches us the dangers of Vaishnava Aparad, teaches us dangers of dealing with women improperly. And the Shastras say, tears of a chaste woman, the tears of a chaste woman can destroy the life of a man and destroy the whole world for that matter. And therefore, I think Srila Prabhupada, as he commented, we have to give that status to our women in our society and respect them. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.